elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come. We are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us, thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years time, starting in 1492.
To those who have kept their homelands, and to the nations extinct due to mass slaughter, slavery, deportation, and disease unknown to them, and to the ones who are subjected to the same treatment today.
To the ones who survived the relocations and the ones who died along the way.
To those who carried on traditions and lived strong among their people.
To those who left their communities by force or by choice and through generations no longer know who they are.
To those who search and never find.
To those that turn away the so-called non-accepted.
To those that bring us together.
And to those living outside, keeping touch, the voice for many.
To those that make it back to live and fight the struggles of their people.
To those that give up and those who do not care.
To those who abuse themselves and others.
And those who revive again.
To those who are physically, mentally, or spiritually incapable by accident or by birth.
To those who seek strength in our spirituality and ways of life,
and those who exploit it, even our own.
To those who fall for the lies and join the divine lies.
We're listening to KBOO Portland.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
David D. Hard Knock Radio hanging out with you this afternoon. There's a lot of conversations about the role that various churches around the country and now the Bay Area are playing with the pandemic and how it's impacting certain communities. Some of the work that some of our churches are doing is heroic. They've been raising money to the tens of thousands to make sure that folks who did not get a stimulus package, did not get a stimulus check, who lost their jobs are being fed. Some churches have been doing a whole campaign around getting masks, not only to people in the community, but more importantly, folks who are incarcerated. And these are things that need to be uplifted. There's been a lot of conversation around the country about this type of work. Some of these churches have been opening up health clinics and testing and making sure that communities that are hard, that have been hard impacted are going to be aware of their status and can take a path to being healthy. But in recent days, some of the dominating headlines have centered around pastors who, in my opinion, this is me saying it, want to kick up dust and be the subject of controversy. So whether you're looking at folks in Louisiana or in Florida, and more recently here in the city of Oakland, you have some folks who are standing before the cameras talking about, I don't care about no shut-in order, I don't care about no pandemic, we opening our church and we're going to, you know, hold services. And they've been depicted as being folks who are fighting for freedom. We want to find out what's going on around this whole situation. And so we have a team of pastors that are well-known in the Bay Area that are doing some of the heroic work that I described to find out where they stand on this and to update us on what is happening with their work around this pandemic. So joining us is somebody who's no stranger to our airwaves. His name is Pastor Mike McBride from the Way Church in I want to say Oakland, because you're always in Oakland, but it's in Berkeley. And so I'm going to talk to him. We also have from the World Assembly Churches, Bishop Keith Clark, and we shall be joined by Pastor Jackie Thompson, who is over at Allen Temple Baptist Church. So welcome to the show, fellas. And let me start off with you, Pastor Mike. let's talk about, just to update our listeners, because last time you were on, you were doing the whole thing with the mask. Where does that stand right now? What do we need to know? What do we need to do to further help you?
Yeah, so we are excited. We are continuing to hand out masks in about a dozen cities across the country. We've raised $1 million plus from folks like Jack Dorsey, the Haas family, the Joyce Foundation, Levi's, on and on and on. We even got a donation from Sisters of Justice Nuns group somewhere. So yeah, we're able to really source. We've got about 750,000 masks that have hit the ground across the country. We got another 500,000 that should be touching down over the next couple weeks. We've created hand sanitizer that's FDA approved, that you can go to maskforthepeople.org, not .com, maskforthepeople.org, and buy some hand sanitizer. 25% of the purchases for hand sanitizer will go into helping us buy more masks. So it's been a Herculean effort, but really grateful for W. Kamau Bell, Coach Steve Kerr, Erica Campbell, Bishop Noel Jones, a whole host of folks that have really jumped in and helped us really feel a need right now.
No, and I've seen some of the town halls y'all have done, and they've been very impressive. And so y'all are definitely doing that work. Bishop,
yeah, we gotta have you come on. We gotta have you come on, D, and do some spin. You can give us some entrance music or something.
You want me to want me to play some tunes? Okay, we'll
do
that.
Yeah, yeah. Get out for us.
Bishop Clark, how are you all doing in this pandemic? What is the World Assembly doing? How's your congregation faring in this pandemic?
Well, you know, there are several things I like to say to describe that, man. I tell people it's maybe different scenery, but it's the same situation. And thanks be to God, thus far, we've been able to make the adjustment. We are currently now, well, actually have been since the start of COVID, feeding twice a week. We do what's called grab and go lunches there at our church, and we're expanding it to our Eastside campus. We're currently doing it now at the Palace Theater, where we've been held service 1445 23rd Ave every Tuesday and Wednesday from 12:30 to 1, and we're getting ready to expand that to bring that to our Eastside campus.
What's the crowds like that come there? Are they large? Are you surprised at the amount of people? Or are you surprised at who actually is showing up?
Exactly. Your answer to each one of those is I am. I am shocked by the crowds. We're feeding between the 2 days on an average 250 people. And it's all nationalities, bright, black and brown, white, Asian, you name it. They're coming through, because one of the things I've discovered, and Mike can attest to this, man, trouble and pain is not racist. Trouble and pain, man, is universal. And, you know, I think I'm grateful to God for churches who have adapted the mindset that though the building is closed, the church is still operating.
Right. When I say this, and you know, y'all are just one of many churches around here mm-hmm. that are doing that. So some people be like, only 250. Yeah, but that's 250 plus five other churches that are doing similar work that we could easily have here.
Yeah.
And feeding just as many, if not more.
Yeah.
And I think, again, you know, having gone to some of those outlets, the people that I've seen are not what people would put in the stereotypical manner, like, oh, they must be homeless. They must be. These are the folks that are sitting here 60, 70 days into a pandemic and being sheltered in, who are like, I don't have a stimulus check. I'm trying to figure out how to pay rent, if I can even do that. And I definitely don't have no money for groceries. So do you find yourself having to minister to those folks? Are they coming to you like, I'm depressed, I'm despondent, I'm desperate? Are you dealing with that aspect of folks who are suddenly finding themselves completely upended?
Oh, by all means, man. We've had several conversations there at the site with people who are experiencing a sense of hopelessness. You know, it's one thing, Dave, to be in trouble. It's another thing to have trouble last a while. And, you know, the longer this thing prolongs, and we're going to have to know, we've got to ride with it. People have to make the adjustments, and that's hard. It's hard because we are culture and the climate in this country where it's difficult to deal when life is inconvenient, right? And right. we know that as a people long before COVID, but now it just intensifies. So yes, to answer your question, we're ministering, man, to people from every aspect, psychological, spiritual, I mean, physical. We've started our temple time in the morning, trying to encourage people to get out and exercise, making use of some idle time. So yes, it's work. I'm working harder now outside of the building than I ever did when we had the building open. Inside. Mike, you know what I'm talking about. Well,
Pastor Mike, let me ask you this. What you described, the work that you're doing around the Mass, the feeding that Bishop Keith is doing, the health clinic that is opened up at Allen Temple with Pastor Jackie, these definitely are works worth praising. At the same time, there's a certain amount of disappointment I have in the sense that why are you guys doing this work and not the government? That would be a question, and I want to see if you could address that. Second, we know that when austerity measures kicked in and there were cuts to the safety net, they said the churches would take care of the people, the charity would do it. So you all are acting in that way, and you're doing more than what has been anticipated. So did you get a phone call with anybody saying, hey, since you all are feeding, Pastor Keith, here's some extra money for food. You can get these discounts. We'll make sure this happens from the government. Pastor Mike, are they coming to you and saying, okay, y'all are doing this work and we've been moving in a direction of privatizing, so let's enhance what you're doing? What is that about? Because it seems like you should not be, your churches should not be carrying this load. You want to hit that?
Well, it's certainly, you know, the case in my kind of philosophical, political imagination. Charity can't replace government. It's not supposed to. We are all taxpayers. Our tax dollars are supposed to recycle to sustain a certain baseline of the quality of life, love, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, you know, security, providing for the domestic tranquility, all these nice words that are written on paper that we know have yet to be realized in the yet to be United States of America, as my friend Dr. Freddie Haynes says. So, you know, our work to fill in the gap, if you will, to address the material conditions and needs of our people comes out of a place of deep love. I mean, if you are a pastor, even if you got bad theology, even if you, you know, don't have a whole lot of good sense, you probably deep down in your heart have a lot of love for the people you're pastoring. You don't want to see them hurting or harmed. And so the work that we're all doing is out of love. We're robbing Peter to pay Paul right now. We digging into our own pockets to help make sure that people that are in our congregations, in our neighborhoods, particularly in this pandemic, can have basic needs met. It would be great to have a closer partnership with our, you know, elected officials at every level. But, you know, there's just sometimes a lot of barriers that exist there. Some are relational, some are philosophical, sometimes we don't have the infrastructure in our congregations, or sometimes they're just made up reasons why we don't partner. But I would like to just say, the greatest failure of government that we've seen in our lifetime has been the Trump administration. They are a wicked bunch of individuals who have continued to fall down on their duty to provide this country the necessary leadership needed to help us get through this pandemic with the right information, the right equipment, and the right kind of guidance that allows cities and congregations and everyday people to make the best possible decision in real time. And so government is failing. Our churches are not equipped to replace government, but we're going to do the best we can because we love our people. We love our people. We're going to do the best we can to save as many of them as we can.
That was the voice of Pastor Mike McBride from the Way Church. Bishop Keith, what would you add to this in terms of taking on this role that we basically as taxpayers should be expecting from other entities? And I'm asking this again, building off of where Pastor Mike was, of how do we avoid looking at the churches and then having them be exploited? Like, well, you know, y'all are churches, so of course you're going to provide a clinic. Y'all are churches, of course you're going to feed the hungry. But meanwhile, we can see the budget, our tax dollars going to waste. We can see a lot of the things that you're working to improve on not being improved systemically. You know, it is situationally, it's a Band-Aid approach, but we don't see, if you're the quarterback and you threw the pass in terms of help, we don't see a wide receiver in the form of large institutions catching that and running for the touchdown.
Well, you know, Dave, you're right. And I agree with everything Pastor Mike said, but I think for me, it's always been this way. You know, I think what COVID has done is that COVID just lets us see it better. But it's always been this way. And I'm a firm believer. We're not only feeding, and I forgot to mention this initially, it's not only the grab and go that we're doing, but we also partner with Project Hope, where we feed homeless encampments Monday through Friday. I'm a firm believer that the church has a responsibility that has to be done, whether the government helps or not. So I would... Yes, we miss, and there is a great need for the government to assist us, but I try to stay away from being the kind of ministry where we're sponsored, right? And what I mean by that is, I want the help, but I don't want you to sponsor me to the degree where you can control how I do what I do. Now, that's just a personal thing with me. If I want to be able to tell a brother when I'm giving his sandwich about the love of Jesus Christ, I don't want to have the conflict that I'm using government funds as a sponsorship, right? And not be able to talk about Jesus. That's so it's nothing new, man. You know, it's our problems, and you know, it's always been us solving the solution for our people. That's just the way it's always been. It's unfortunate, but that's our reality.
Now, you said you don't want to have that conflict, but yet we're seeing in the guise of churches. A denouncement, a skepticism, a disinformation campaign that shows up in the form of folks who have attached themselves to a political agenda of this administration. Like, we're fighting for freedom. We're going to lead our congregation. We're going to defy, you know, the shelter in place, right? And so we've seen support come on that side. So let's talk a little bit about that, because when we're hearing about the churches, we're hearing about the sensationalism around some of these pastors that are, you know, in the name of freedom, they're going to deny, they're going to defy, you know, a shelter in place, which then gets blanketed and attributed to a lot of churches, you know, the ones that are doing the work that you're talking about, as well as others. So how do we start to cipher into that? Because I know you all have put out press releases. You all have a campaign. It's love, not the law. So let's talk a little bit about that and what's the purpose behind that. You want to kick that off, Pastor Mike?
No, go ahead. Bishop actually thought of it's love that makes us wait. It flowed off his lips just so smoothly. I said, Bishop, we got to make that thing go viral. You know that? That's why he's the bishop and I'm the bootleg.
Oh, see that? Anyway, Mark. Bless you. I think, Dave, Mike, I think it boils down to this. It boils down to, man, what's a fella's motive for doing ministry? If your motive is to give a higher visibility to your image, then you're willing to do whatever you think's gonna make you look good. If your motive is to make an impact and touch the lives of people, then you're gonna always have them on your mind first. Jesus tells his disciples, he says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And he doesn't give us room to define that kind of love. He says, love them just like I've loved you. And when I think about the pandemic, man, and our people dying at a higher rate than anybody else, it's foolish for me to say that I'm a shepherd and my responsibility is to lead people, and I'm intentionally going to open doors to lead them in an environment where they can be impacted and sick. Then, Dave, I'm personal with this because my father was in the hospital, man, for almost 30 days battling for his life with COVID. Thanks be to God, he's home now recovering, but it's personal to me, and I can't see how any believer would think it's okay, you know what I'm saying, to just put people in harm's way like that. So, you know, it's personal with me. So I think it boils down to fellas' motives.
Right. We're being joined by Pastor Jackie Thompson.
The queen is in the house.
From Allen Temple Baptist Church. Yeah. That's my home church. How you doing, Pastor Jackie?
I am good. How are you?
Good, good. They got you working, huh?
Oh, busy.
Yeah, they said you were on like 6 or 7 Zoom calls at once, you know?
Indeed. They're dropping phones and iPads and everything else. So if I dip out, you know what happened.
I hear you. For people who are just tuning in, we were talking earlier, and we were talking about the work that many churches have been doing. And we pointed out that over at Allen Temple, y'all have just started a testing site. And so as we're checking in, with this panel about the state of the pandemic and how it's impacting and what you as, you know, somebody who ministers one of the larger churches in Oakland, talk a little bit about how you're seeing things with your congregation and the people that are in Deep East Oakland where you're at, you know, and the testing sites that are going on there on the campus.
Well, we are. Today is officially, good morning, everybody. Today is day 3. We had a soft launch on Saturday. We tested yesterday, saw close to 200 cars. The day before, saw 150 cars. We have a capacity of 250. And so it was important, at least in my opinion, that we concentrated on testing because we are in one of the highest impacted zip codes. And I think that having that data and having that information is so important so that when you're leaders and you're trying to make decisions, you're making decisions that are not just in the best interest of your congregation, because Allen Temple lives everywhere. But I'm concerned about the people we see every week. We're not just a worshiping congregation. We are open 7 days a week from 6 a.m. in the morning till 9 p.m. at night. We have anger management programs, parenting programs. We're feeding twice a week. And so the people that we would see coming into our facilities are people who would be impacted. And so when I drive, you know, to the church every day, there's still people with no mask on. There are still people who are not social distancing. And so for many of them, I don't know if it's a public awareness issue, but I do know that we need to know our status so that if we are impacted, then we can begin encouraging people to take those protocols and take those actions that are going to keep us safe. The reality is that we're dealing with governments and systems who are not concerned about us. And so if we're going to be saved, we're going to have to take initiative and save ourselves. And so for me, that was advocating for testing, and I'll continue to do that, not just in our area, but in West Oakland. It needs to happen. It needs to happen in all the zip codes where we're adversely impacted. But the unfortunate part is that we have some spiritual leaders who don't think the data is important.
Right.
But the reality is, I've done enough graveside services. I don't want to pray with a family over the phone where they take their daughter off life support who was pregnant with twins. So it's not just, you know, issues that are on TV. Black churches and black people are being impacted by this disease. And we have a responsibility to not make our faith battle science. In the same way we don't cause our faith to battle heart disease. We don't cause our faith to battle diabetes. We don't cause our faith to battle cancer. We encourage people to take the actions that need to be taken to keep themselves safe and healthy. So for us and for me, that was my perspective. And Dave, you know us, so you know social justice is in our DNA, ministering to the least and the lost and the left out. That's what we do. That's the legacy we stand on. So that's the only posture we can take during this pandemic.
Let me ask all of you all this, Bishop Keith Clark, Pastor Mike McBride, and that was the voice of Pastor Jackie Thompson over at Allen Temple. If I can, you know, there's a philosophical thing, argument that's been put out into the conversation. And it goes along these lines, I'll paraphrase. If you really have a faith in a higher power, Jesus, God, Jehovah, whatever name you're using, then that faith should be your protection against this COVID-19. So we're going to open our doors. We're going to have people come in, and we're going to have the Lord take care of us. How do you respond to that? Because that has been the narrative, that has been the lead story on newses, on newscasts. We've seen, you know, some of these pastors poke their chest out and say, you know, they'll protect me. The Lord is my protection. How do y'all respond to that?
I think, first of all, it's a bad theology. It has no biblical base. And faith is useless when the object of our faith is not in void. And so when you hear pastors or Christians talking about my faith will protect me, you're listening to somebody who has no idea of the purpose of faith, right? Mm. Faith is the confidence that God's going to do what he said. Now, if God didn't say it, I can't have faith in it. And the truth, and no one's answered this question yet, and that is, what can we do, what do we have to stop now that we're not in a building, other than loving on people? Everything else continues. People can still get the word. People can still worship. The church is still doing work. The only thing we can't not do is physically connect right now. So when preachers and pastors are talking about, you know, we got to get back in church to honor the Lord, that's a bunch of foolishness, man. Let me tell you, Dave, and I'm going to say this and be quiet because I can be the radical one. No, I'm Mike, you the radical one. But
well, all three of y'all are kind of radical, but
fellas, people want to get back in church, and I'll go on record saying this. I'll stand by it. The reason why pastors want to get back in church for three reasons: it's either income, influence, and identity. You're losing money. You're afraid you're gonna lose members, and you don't have any life outside of your calling. When those three things are at risk, a drowning man will grab hold to a straw if you think of the Savior.
Right. Mm. Well, the argument is
the
also
bishop,
been made.
See? You see that? You see how that just flowed up three eyes? let me write that down. You said income, influence, and identity. My. Y'all take some notes from the bishop.
Anything you want to add to Mike? Or you're just taking the notes?
No, I definitely agree, and I'll go even further by saying it's ridiculous. It is ridiculous
for anyone who, in
the age of a global pandemic, believe that your faith will keep you from dying when people with the same faith are dying around you every day.
Yeah,
like you got to be some kind of arrogant to believe that you have a special relationship with God that everybody else in the world don't have. I mean, I am a fourth generation holiness Pentecostal, so I grew up in a denomination where nobody else was saved but us.
Right,
like everybody else was going to hell in my denomination growing up. But in some of these kind of denominations, the Church of God in Christ was not my denomination. But that is one of the premier biggest Black Pentecostal holiness denominations in the world. 17 of their bishops have died since the start of the COVID pandemic.
Wow.
Two of which have been on the general board, Bishop Charles Blake. And I just want to put this out there so people will know. Bishop Charles Blake, the presiding bishop of the Church of God in Christ, and Bishop Macklin, who's right here in Hayward, they both have put out all kinds of statements and advisories compelling pastors to not gather until we're given the clear from the CDC and other health officials. And so this idea that your faith can guard you from a illness and a sickness of this proportion is a ridiculous, reckless doctrine that needs to be publicly discredited. The thing your faith will do for you in this pandemic is give you strength to keep believing you are going to make it, no matter what comes your way, and your faith will carry you on to the next side of life should you transition. That's what your faith is guaranteed to do. We are all being blessed by the graces of God, whether we fall ill or whether we don't get ill. It has nothing to do with some arbitrary use of faith. It's a terrible, terrible way to talk about it, and I think it discredits our whole tradition to make that propagated in the public square.
Let me put on a political hat for a minute. So last week, Acts Gospel Church had a pastor who was on the front page of the New York Times come up. pastor is somebody who believes in that you can convert people who are gay, has this right-wing ideology. But also in the article, they were talking about the churches would be a part of a 50-state strategy, and that in the long run, this whole angle in which folks are fighting to stay open and all that will be part of a larger strategy to engage a particular population of people to be energized, to go to the polls and fight that. Can we talk a little bit about that, using the idea of keeping the churches open in spite of what governors in California or New York and others are saying, can now become a political tool that becomes a rallying cry in the 2020 election? How do we look at that aspect, and how do you all deal with that? And I'll start off with you, Pastor Jackie.
I'm not sure that's new. I think the church has always been used as a political strategy and tool. If you look at the beginning, if we go all the way back, even in African American history, it was the Catholic Church and their papal letters that helped initiate the slave trade. And so there has always been a movement of those who attempt to use quote-unquote faith, attempt to use religion for their political agenda. And for those who understand the history of Christianity, that's how we got Christianity. It was a function of Constantine, who was the emperor of Rome. And so okay. We owe it to ourselves to be educated and not be fooled by others' agenda. And so you were asking about how that's being used. I think people have to be very, very clear that at the end of the day, as I've said before, nobody is coming to save you. No government is coming to save you. You have to be committed to saving yourself, because there are going to be those who are going to make that push to have churches be open so that the sermons that are preached from the pulpit, the lessons that are taught in the classroom, continue to give people the feeling that everything is okay. In the meantime, those who they were never concerned about in the first place are the ones that are adversely impacted and dying. And so I think we have to be very clear that this is about an election, and it's evident by the fact that the president even today has said that he wants to withhold money from those states who are opting to have mail-in ballots. And I think they will use whatever industry, whatever tool, whatever church is available and willing to play into that agenda.
Wow. How do you counter it then?
I think you counter it through education, you counter it through conversations like this, and you counter it by taking a stand. There always has to be a prophetic voice that stands up in the land and says, this is not of God. And I think the challenge when you begin to have the faith conversation is that we are a people of faith. I'm not sure, other than, you know, if in the United States, if we can say African American people are not a people of faith, of course we're a people of faith. And because faith has, well, we have seen miracles, we have seen healings. But the reality is, your faith cannot be based on faulty theology and faulty biblical interpretation.
Right.
And we have a lot of that that goes on in the Black church. And we have to call that out for what it is and help people understand that faith was not designed to put you at odds with God. This is not a test for God to prove whether or not God is God. God has also given us reason. The same God that says, believe, said, come and let us reason together. That same God said, don't have zeal without knowledge. And so it becomes our Christian responsibility to make sure that we are standing up and giving the message that all interpretations of Scripture are not profitable. They are not beneficial. They're not theological, and they're not of God. And any theology that causes you to dismiss reason, because the same God who made your body and gave you the capacity for faith gave you a brain, gave you wisdom, gave you exposure to education, and any faith that puts you at odds with that is one that needs to be examined.
Well, there you go. Pastor Jackie out of Allen Temple. Pastor Mike, you're going to say something?
I would just add, in this moment, it's really important for people to also message the Black church or Christian faith in a very nuanced manner. There are more faithful expressions of Christian faith out here in the public square that never get the headline. Mm-hmm. And so part of what I believe is we have to start describing what kind of faith are we talking about. This kind of faith that is being peddled by white evangelicals to cover totalitarian tendencies, imperialistic aims, authoritarian sensibilities,
I'm sorry,
autocracies, and oligarchs. all of that kind of faith, Dorothy Soleil, she called it Christo fascism. And so I think we need to start calling some of this stuff what it is. It's Christo fascism. It's not faithful Christian faith that right. emerges from particularly the liberatory soil of Black church and other sensibilities that have tried to resist empire and violence, etc. Some seasons better than others throughout the course of our church history, but certainly there is this thread that I think we need to be able to kind of nuance so we don't just get lumped in with these folks that we know do not have our best interests in mind.
Well, there you have it. As we close out, what are the marching orders that you would give our listeners in terms of steps that you would ideally want them to take in this pandemic or something that you think they absolutely need to further explore or be aware of?
I think it's important for people to remain informed, to make sure that they are keeping up to date, not just listening to the news, but actually kind of doing some research for themselves as to what's going to keep them healthy. Certainly follow the protocols, listen to the science, remain connected to your community of faith. If you are in a community of faith, if you are not, just make sure you're staying connected to people you love and people that love you. I think it's important during this time that we look for ways to give back, because sometimes we can become so focused on what it is that we are going through personally, we don't realize that even in the midst of a pandemic, there's something that we have that can be a benefit to somebody else. I think we also need to look at the issues that are being raised by this pandemic, because it's never going to be the same. And so for people who are thinking that one day everything's going to open back up and it's going to be the same, it's not going to be the same until there's a therapeutic or until there's a vaccine. But it also presents an opportunity for us to change, for us to be innovative, for us to be creative, for us to deal with some things that we probably should have dealt with a long time ago. And also to be aware of the justice issue that are being raised as a result of this pandemic. There are some critical things that are being highlighted that we knew were always there, but we have a primed opportunity, and because of a pandemic, we got time. We got time. You got time to write a letter and make a phone call and complete your census and, you know, give to an organization and that kind of thing. So for people to really realize that the only thing that has changed is our ability to gather, that we are not being targeted because of our faith or because we're not essential. We are a place that likes to get together, sing on each other, touch each other. And if that is killing us, then the God I serve would want us to not engage in that which kills us, because then it makes the crucifixion of Christ null and void.
Appreciate that, Pastor Jackie. And if people want to get tested at Allen Temple, what's the times they can go?
We are testing Monday through Saturday, starting at 1, ending at 7 p.m. You can go to projectbaseline.org or go to any of our websites. Go to the allen-temple.org website to sign up. You do need to have an appointment, but you do not have to have insurance. Testing is free. You don't have to show any symptoms. Just sign up, get your appointment, and come through.
There you go. Bishop Keith Clark, what are the last comments that you would like to leave our listeners with, and how can they push some of the things that you all are working on?
I think Doc said it best, and that word, we'll continue to do our part. I'd like to say that in matters, this COVID, all of us are fighting, we just swing different. So I would encourage our listeners to get educated and apply the information you get. You know, a lot of times, like with the testing piece, and I'm on my way, Dr. Jackie, to get my testing.
Yeah. All right, tag me.
but I think, you know, staying educated, education and application. That's what I would say. Education and application. Get the information and do something with it when you get it. And I think that's, you know, that's very important, because oftentimes we can be gatherers of education and make no application and see no difference. So it's education and it's application of that.
And how
Pastor
do people
Mike,
get a
hold did you
of...
get that? Did you get that, Pastor Mike? You see all that alliteration that preachers do? I feel like I didn't have my notes together. We got the three I's, we got the alliteration. No,
you and Mike always always in seminary when you talking, Doc.
Well, they did say the preacher was one of the first MCs, so you know he's flowing up there like he's Rakim, you know. And quiet is kept. There's more than a few folks that have been on the mic that come out of that background. They had a daddy or a mama that preached, and they were like, wow, we'll borrow some of these rhymes and kick it. Same way that some people came out of the choir and went on to become great soul singers, from on down to the Sam Cooks. There's some MCs that got their skills coming out of the house of the Lord, so to speak. So we know you was an MC back in the days, Bishop.
Oh, man.
there's a record somewhere out there, you know.
Right.
It's in his trunk. It's in his trunk.
He still got it.
He's selling rep. Oh, yeah, selling mixtapes.
Had a chain go on back in the day.
Hey, aren't you the Bishop? No, I'm MC. I'm MCBC, you know, or KC or something like that. Pass the mic. What do you want to end with? You know, last comments.
I just want everyone who's listening to believe that the Black church belongs to you as well. Your grandparents, your great grandparents helped build every one of these Black churches that we pastor. Whether you attend the church or not, whether your grandson, your nephew, your cousin, whether you attend these churches or not, our congregations that we steward, they are the legacy of Black people in this country. And so let us help you and let us be a blessing to you. We want to serve our community with open arms. Please don't allow the ignorance or the misguided few that get a lot of PR to cause you to run away from some of our institutions that literally want to give you free food, want to help you get tested, want to help you get the right information and make sense of the census and voting and these policies that need to be advocated for at the local, state, and federal level. So that's what I want to say. I want to say that the church belongs to you, whether you attend it or not. We love our community. We love our people. And during this pandemic, please stay home. Stay safe, eat well, exercise, take vitamins, listen to the medical professionals, and let everybody else be a secondary voice in how you protect your family. As Pastor Jackie said, save yourself in this season, and let's all come out on the other side and rebuild what we need to rebuild.
The voice of Pastor McBride, the voice of Bishop Keith Clark, and the voice of Dr. Reverend Jackie Thompson. So thank you all very much. We're going to take a break on Hard Knock Radio, and we'll be right back.
Hard Knock, turn the speakers in your car up. Quality program, turn in for the real talk. Don't stop. EMN, at it again. Sandman, Daddy Man, Chris Juwan, Cam. Innovation, stimulating ill conversation. Anything else, just imitation. Simulation, step into the zone. The Bay Area zone. Hard Knock Radio, let's go. Big shout out to Nita and Davey D. Honing down at Hard Knock Radio. Kind of crazy though. Oakland stand up. Ensemble Big Night Wolves.
Bellevue. Come on, check out. Why every novice think they hard knock when they ain't going all in and ain't paid the cost of the fee? Hating that they made they beats, trying to eat till they made it from the steel gray beef. Say please, maybe it'll save you a seat at the table with a great bread making. Peace to the lovers, our neighbor to please. Hey, there's some shade on your name in the street. Hey, ain't David
G. Real Talk Radio. You are now rocking with the best in the West.
West Coast. Monday through Friday.
Sing it, Chris.
East Coast.
Sick and poor, those you need to serve the most.
Do they misuse their
control. With dignity and truth,
are they righteous in a time of crisis?
Do you feel protected by them?
Take me to your leaders. Take me to your leaders. Take me to your leaders. Just and merciful
towards all of mankind around the world.
What is their philosophy on spreading peace and harmony? What have they done for poverty?
Got to this point.
We have it totally under control. It's one person coming in from China, and we have it under control. It's going to be just fine.
We pretty much shut it down.
Coming in from China. You know, in April, supposedly it dies with the hotter weather.
Looks like by April, you know, in theory, when it gets a little warmer, it miraculously goes away.
In fact, we're very close to a vaccine.
We're going down, not up. We're going very substantially down.
We have done an incredible job. We're going to continue. It's going to disappear. One day it's like a miracle. It will disappear.
The crisis created by the coronavirus has revealed with amazing speed how vulnerable the United States, and indeed nations around the world, is to something that the human eye cannot see. In a matter of days, the world's most aggressive economy crumbled like crackers, and within weeks, a few dozen coronavirus cases exploded to well over a million, while in 2 months, over 87,000 people lost their lives, from infants to the elderly. To say that the U.S. was ill-equipped to handle this virus is understatement. The medical system was overwhelmed. The political system was outmatched. And most other systems simply shut their doors, went home, and battened down the hatches, as if waiting for a great storm. But what kind of storm is silent and unseen? Apparently, a viral one. Are vaccines the solution? Apparently not. For the best vaccines claim about 40% efficacy, which means, of course, that 60% of the vaccinated population find that it isn't effective. And who really believes that the government can or will vaccinate over 300 million people? The government that can't find the people it promised to give money to will vaccinate over 300 million people? I mean, who believes that? If this were, as claimed, an America First government, what would an American Last government look like? And how can there be an America First policy when Americans come in dead last? In a few days, 100,000 Americans, men, women, and children, will be dead, with a level of sheer incompetence that is frankly stunning. The nation is marching headlong into the abyss. From imprisoned nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
What does it mean to be sheltered in place if the place you sheltered in don't feel safe? And how do we become so qualified to judge and chastise and lose the ability to empathize with those who don't feel safe inside for whatever reason? You know, you sometimes ain't got the luxury of feeling safe at home when you ain't got a safe space to call your own. No privacy, no courtesy, no bed, nor peace of mind. You're grateful for a roof over your head, but that's not where everybody spends their time. So by this time, you're already mastered trying to stay out the way. And you already overheard chatter about not overextending your stay. And trying to find resources hard without a computer or Wi-Fi. Plus, employment opportunities are scarce and local businesses are boarded up. So you're being honest with yourself, asking like, why try? And it's not that everybody who's outside right now is even trying to be selfish. You know, some don't even want to be outside. They're just trying to avoid the insult of being displaced inside. You see, there's a lot of uncomfortable going on. And despite what you see on your timeline, not everybody's dancing to the same song. You know, some are dancing to the tune of loneliness and some ain't dancing at all. Some have their phones glued to their face and some ain't got no phones at all. No homes at all. No clocks on the wall. No time at all. No TikTok. No selfies. No hashtags. No memes. No statuses with complaints about how much food they overate. You know, some are still trying to find a meal and some are still trying to find their meal. I saw a broken car glass on my run around the block today. I must got a lot running through my mind today. Probably an indicator that I need to be still and pray, but the fact is we are all in this together, and the ones who judge and lead without love must not know no better. The world's lungs are under attack, and we're wasting precious breath on judgment, conspiracy theories about the government. Remember, we don't all have the same privilege when it comes on to access to information, and we're not all watching the same station. And after 10 years as an administrator in special education, I can tell you we all learn different. Matter of fact, it's time for a deep breath. It's time for a reset. Creatives, be gentle with yourselves. It's okay to take a break. Your value as a person is not defined by the art you create. Some of us are called to be light, and all of us are called to be salt. Preserve your well-being. Let love and kindness be your currency. Let Christ's compassion lead the way. And despite what economists say, empathy is the new wave, and it's the same as the old one too. It's all cyclical. And if you believe that money makes the world go round, then yeah, this standstill can be scary. But there are those of us who learn to speak without talking and move without walking. This is a journey to the inside. No more sweeping it under the rug. That rug is filled. And yes, the pain is present, but the love is real. So, today I'm gonna be patient with myself. The goal is to be present, not perfect. And parents, you don't have to be perfect. This ain't no normal homeschooling. Your children can feel the world's stress. And under such circumstances, no one learns their best. And you are doing your best. And might I add, a damn good job? And so are our essential workers too. And right now, I'm going to say a special prayer for our social workers and educators, too. And all the folks doing food accessibility work, I see you. Three black chefs in Meadowview, I see you. And I thank you from the abundance of my heart. And for our families with loved ones behind bars, I know this season is hard. So I don't want to offer any platitudes or throw any out-of-context scripture your way. And for those of us who've lost loved ones to the virus, we lament and pray. We are experiencing a collective grief to a scale none of us have ever seen before. Be gentle with yourselves. Do not harden your hearts. It may be Christ knocking at the door.
Hard Knock Radio, East, West, hard North, South, radio, conectados. Man. Every set, every hood, barrio to barrio. Y'all stand up, stay righteous, speaking to the thugs. One love, we know where y'all at. Top, Brown Buffalo. It's a hard knock life, gotta pay your bills. They want a song about bling, but it ain't real. We speak to the kids and the OGs. Organize, mobilize, be the change you wanna see. 415's bumpin' Hard Knock Radio. Brown Buffalo, all up in your stereo. And to the youth, live life like it's golden. Go dumb, go hard, but don't forget where you're going. We from the hood, so it's all to the good. Let us know this, what you're feeling is right. Let's get this understood. It's only one reason why we here today. We tryna make real music so the people can relate.
Learning from this hard knock, slipping in these hard knocks. Listening to Hard Knocks, questioning the bar cops. Learning through these Hard Knocks, living for this hip hop. Listening to Hard Knocks, ripping to the bar side. Learning from the Hard Knocks, living in these Hard Knocks. Listening to Hard Knocks, questioning the bar cops. Learning through these Hard Knocks, living for this hip hop. Listening to Hard Knocks, ripping to the bar side.
Somebody help me, set me free. I can't take this new reality. How much longer can it be? Where's the humanity? I look around and all I see, masked faces staring at me. Keep your distance, don't touch me. Get your hands off my teepee. Somebody save my sanity. The COVID killer's coming after me. How much longer will it be? Where's the humanity? I'm sick and tired of staying at home. Even worse, I live alone. Gotta get out, I need to roam. You can't shake hands on the phone. Touch, I need to feel, I need to hug a friend for real. I'm not down for this new deal. I'm not down for this new deal. The COVID killer keeps piling it on. Counting the dead goes on and on. We gotta stay safe, gotta be strong. Ride this out no matter how long. There's no borders, there's no walls. Alone together, we stand, we fall. Around the world, hear the call. Alone together, we stand, we fall. Somebody help me, set me free. I can't take this new reality. How much longer can it be? Where's the humanity? Somebody save my sanity. The COVID killer's coming after me. How much longer will it be? Where's the humanity?
Listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO is hiring a data coordinator. Our data coordinator supports KBOO's fundraising activities by organizing donor information, tabulating contributions and campaign totals, and maintains KBOO's database. Experience working with DonorPerfect or similar data management